produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash on this fine Friday. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We have a stash to last you all weekend today. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org and make sure you link up to our separate weekly Normal News audio podcast. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. Normal News stories this week include: cannabinoid may halt Alzheimer's progression, study says. Colorado Cannabis Legalization Initiative certified for the November 2006 ballot. Department of Education cuts funding for random student drug testing programs. And Seattle Hemp Fest celebrates 15 years this weekend. That's on our separate Normal News weekly audio podcast. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. Let's start off our Friday program today with another look at cannabis tourism. Recently, a fellow New Mexican, Thomas of BringDeNoise.com, took a trip on up to Vancouver. So here on the stash today, we get to hear about the American experience in Canada.
Thomas, you are an American cannabis tourist. You traveled over up to Vancouver recently, pretty much for the specific reason of seeing the cannabis culture up there. First, what made you want to go, and how'd you get there?
Well, Chris, I had previously planned a trip, about a 9,000-mile trip around North America, just to see stuff I hadn't seen before. And Vancouver seemed to be a pretty good place to take a corner, to go across Canada. So I did a little bit of research, and upon going on to the internet to find out about where I'm going to stay in Vancouver, I realized that it's pretty liberal over there, and it seemed like a really good place to be. So I spent a little bit more time, in Vancouver than I had actually originally planned.
So I haven't been up to Vancouver in almost 11 years, actually. And even then, I was only there for like 4 hours. What is the scene like there? What's the city like in general? And then I know there's a specific area where the cannabis is sort of available and the shops are open.
Well, getting out of the bus station in Vancouver, I realized that this was like a very international city. I mean, I caught a cab. We passed right through Chinatown right after we left the bus station, and it just didn't look like I was in the United States anymore. I had an address to pot.tv's headquarters, and that's where I told the taxi cab driver I wanted to stay around. And that area of Vancouver is called Gastown. That's where all the hip places to be and nice little brewery type bars and pubs are. So that's definitely where I planned on staying.
And when you get into Vancouver and you're sort of a cannabis tourist, what's the experience like actually smoking marijuana in a different kind of atmosphere?
Oh, it's amazing. First of all, what I did was I went down to the Canby Hostel and got me a room. Canby Hostel is a awesome place in Gastown, right above like one of the busiest bars. Dropped my stuff off there, went around the corner to the New Amsterdam Cafe, and as soon as I walked in, I realized I was in a different world, like the ideal utopian society, as far as I'm concerned. I walked into a cloud of smoke, you know what I mean?
I'm turning my mic down because I'm laughing at your description there of the place. What's the actual atmosphere like? What's it look like? How big is it? And what's sort of the exterior like? What kind of businesses are around it?
Well, the businesses around it, I mean, right next door is Pot.TV's headquarters. You know, they got their head shop. There's the, you know, the graffiti scene is huge in Vancouver, and a lot of the signs in that area are made out of graffiti. When you walk in, basically, I mean, it looks like a restaurant on one side and a pipe shop on the other side with, you know, cool decorations. No one, you know, tobacco and alcohol is not allowed in the place, but pot and food are definitely the centerpiece of that establishment.
And, you know, when you went up there alone, right, Thomas? I mean, you arrive in Vancouver as a solo trekker up there.
Yes, I was. I was a solo traveler. Went by myself with my backpack, basically.
So, and when you walk into a place, when you travel alone, it's a lot different when you travel with even one other person. It makes you a lot more, I've found when I travel alone, made me a lot more outgoing. You know, I wanted to make friends a lot quicker, you know. So, you know, what was the atmosphere like amongst the people there in the shop? What were people like up there?
Well, I mean, it was packed. I walk in and at every table somebody's, you know, breaking up some marijuana and rolling up some joints. I walked into a packed place. There was no seats. I mean, there were seats, but there was no tables and stuff like that. So I went and placed my order, of course. I ordered a cheeseburger and some fries and took my number and tried to find a place. And I went up to a table where a guy was sitting by himself, and I said, "Hey, do you mind if I sit with you?" And he was like, "Oh, no problem at all." You know, he was already rolling something up. So I sat down. Of course, I brought my own. you know what I'm saying? Because they don't sell it there. And got to work.
So that's the kind of environment. It's not like the California dispensary where, you know, if you have a doctor's recommendation, you walk in and they're dispensing marijuana there. The New Amsterdam Cafe is really sort of like a cannabis-free zone. They don't distribute cannabis, but you can enjoy it there.
Right, right. They don't sell anything there, and they don't, you know, make pot brownies or anything. The scene in Gastown, the drug scene in Gastown is to where if you walk outside and you go around the corner, if somebody sees you standing still too long, they'll come up and ask you if you need any weed.
So, sort of the ultimate drive-through service in there, huh? So that's very interesting. How do Americans perceived up there? I mean, did you see a lot of fellow Americans up there, and how did the locals treat you as an American?
Well, I didn't walk in with a big old American flag on my shirt or anything, but you know, when I was talking to the gentleman I was sitting with, I told him where I was from. He's like, "Oh yeah, really? That's cool." You know, he wasn't really familiar with the U.S. aside from us being, you know, bullies on the world stage, but he treated me like just another stoner, basically.
That was Thomas of BringToNoise.com. We have links at NormalAudioStash.com. Next up today, let's get into our Hemp Fest special coverage with a track from the totally kickin' Randy Hansen. He'll be on stage with his band at Hemp Fest at 4:20 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday. And a huge thanks to Randy and Kevin Filo for letting us spin these tracks today. That's Randy Hansen. He'll be on stage tomorrow at Seattle's Hemp Fest at 4:20 p.m. We've got another track from Randy coming up, and we have links to him at normalaudiostash.com. Normal's founder Keith Strupp and Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director, along with many local Normal members, will be in attendance at HempFest. Make sure you stop by the Normal booth near the main stage if you're at the event. Now let's take a moment to chat with a guy who will be all over HempFest, both on stage and off. Dominic Holden is spokesman for Seattle's HempFest and joins us via phone today. Dominic, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks again for joining us in this very busy week, gearing up to receive 150,000 people. And you mentioned in the press release about the lawsuit recently won by HempFest. Is this event gaining more clout in the city of Seattle?
Absolutely, HempFest is. Over the years, it has grown from a little gathering of stoners, about 500 people up in Volunteer Park, to now 150,000 people expected to attend. It's practically one of the largest cities in the state of Washington for the third weekend of August. And I think that a lot of public officials, the press, and the general public are starting to recognize that HempFest is an institution. And even though it runs into some of the same problems that other free speech events might have in the city of Seattle, it was clear upon filing a lawsuit that a path was being cleared for HempFest, both literally and figuratively, so the annual festival could be held downtown.
Dom, this is such a huge event. You're a resident of the city. What else comes close to this as far as size in events in Seattle?
Well, there are a few events that are a bit bigger than HempFest. There's an amazing musical festival called Bumbershoot. We have our annual Sea Fair, which is a sort of celebration of all things Seattle. But HempFest is definitely up there as one of the largest events, and it's hands down the largest political event in the entire city. We recently did an economic analysis of what sort of money it brings to the city, and when we start to calculate how much money people are spending simply on the vendors, and then also out in other circles, the hotels and restaurants that attendees go to, the taxes that are generated for the general coffers and also directly for the parks department, and for people's transportation, airlines, buses, trains, it starts to get into the millions of dollars that the city earns simply by having a hemp fest. And this is somewhat akin to what you would expect from a major sports event. Of course, oftentimes the city has to pay and subsidize a lot of these sports events. HempFest is here as a grassroots product of the people's desire to reform marijuana laws, and it happens to give right back to the city.
It seems to fit so closely in with the community and atmosphere in Seattle right now, but over the last 15 years, it's been HempFest that has made so many of the inroads for broader reform in the city possible.
Absolutely, that's true. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately is how identities of a region actually affect the politics of a region. I mean, HempFest alone, of course, cannot change the law, but it can change the environment of the city that allows laws to be changed. One of the things that you can look to is something like, say, San Francisco, where the city has recognize itself as a gay-friendly city. So the people who live in San Francisco, of course, can't be homophobic, and they generally support legal reforms. San Francisco is one of the first to step out and support gay marriage. Similarly, HempFest has changed the climate in the city of Seattle to be a pot-friendly city, something that's recognized throughout the country, and, of course, took the rather ambitious step of passing Initiative 75. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the entire state of Washington were to follow suit by passing broader reforms over the course of the next several years.
And Dom, you said a great word in the press release, and that is protestable. I got to ask where that one came from.
You know, I was actually speaking to a reporter attending the event in 2001 or maybe 2002, and she says, you know, what is this all about? Is this a protest? Is it a rally? It's a festival? I said, well, it's really a protestable. And somehow the word started to take off. And it really is both a rally. You know, we are very serious that marijuana laws have caused enormous harms both to individuals and to society as a whole. But there's also much to celebrate, whether it be about marijuana itself or the culture or the things that the hemp plant has to offer us. So we sort of have everything if you will, rolled into one.
And talk about real demonstration of the attitudes in Seattle. Vivian mentioned yesterday that there were no arrests for pot smoking at the 2005 Hempfest.
That's right. You know, I-75 passed in 2003 with nearly 60% of the vote, and it made marijuana possession Seattle's lowest law enforcement priority. And that's contributed to a huge decline in the number of marijuana arrests and prosecutions throughout the city of Seattle. And, of course, that is correlated with the type of police activity we see at HempFest, where law enforcement's focus, first and foremost, and even quoted by from their spokespeople in the paper, is simply to keep people safe at the event. And that goes hand in hand with HempFest's philosophy for years, which is that the police are not our enemies, they are our allies. And what we need to do is not fight the police, because they really are our friends. They're good people with their families. What we need to do is reform the laws. And I think that when it comes right down to it, keeping people safe is their interest, and they don't want to be needlessly locking people up or burdening our legal system.
Dominic, thanks again for joining us on this very busy day today, and have a very safe and fun time yourself up there at HempFest this weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. We're looking forward to a great weekend.
Dominic Holden is a normal board member, a staff member at the ACLU Marijuana Education Project, and spokesman for Seattle's HempFest. If you can't make it up to the event in person this weekend, consider a donation to HempFest to make it even bigger next year. Visit HempFest.org, and we have links at normalaudiostash.com. Find out more about HempFest at HempFest.org. Now we get to spin another kicking track from Randy Hansen. Again, you can see him live on stage tomorrow at HempFest at 4:20 p.m. on the main stage. And again, big thanks to Randy and Kevin for letting us spin these tracks today. We have links to Randy Hansen at normalaudiostash.com. We'll be right back. Randy Hansen with that track. You can see him live in person tomorrow at Seattle's Hempfest on the main stage at 4:20 p.m. Thanks again to Randy and Kevin for letting us play those tracks today. We got links to them at normalaudiostash.com. Let's wrap things up on our Friday show today with some comedy from another guy who will be up at Hempfest. He'll be the MC at the Hemposium Casbah stage from 4 to 7 p.m. both nights at Seattle's Hempfest. Here he is off the Pot's Greatest Hit CD.
I wish you could see this next guy. He's a black man with long dreadlocks. It's like he's the international poster boy for weed. Here's Ngayo Bilam.
Yes, good to be here. If you smoke a lot of weed, here's some tips. You have to take steps. You have to be proactive. I know it's weird, a proactive stoner, but when it's time for me to renew my driver's license picture, I get high as hell. Do you feel me? I get to the parking lot of the DMV, and I hotbox my car like I got three or four other motherfuckers with me. Then I go take my picture because I want them to think that I look like that all the goddamn time. Right? That way when they pull you over, what seems to be the trouble? You can go. You gotta stay calm. Don't panic. I get pulled over a lot. Surprise. Apparently I fit a profile. Cops can't wait. They don't even have a reason. I can see them just making shit up on the way to my car. You know what I'm talking about? Just woo! You know. We wanted to make sure your headlights work. Man, it's 12 noon. Well, you can't be too safe. Yeah, well, I just ate all my weed. How safe is that? Right? I'm on a 3-week tour. I got a rationing program in effect. He just fucked it all up. You know how hard it is to find weed in Rock Springs, Wyoming? Not very, because I'm social, but it's not my kind of weed. I'm hyper-competitive, too. I really am. Oh, man, I can't play for funsies. I get caught up. I was in a circle jerk one time. And I came in first and third. I swear to God. I was tired for days. I smoke a lot of weed. I do. You know marijuana used to be legal, right? Till 1937. The founding fathers, Jefferson, Washington, all those guys, they used to grow it. They used to smoke it. The Declaration of Independence was originally written on hemp paper. Hemp, which is marijuana, which is pot. Look it up. It makes better paper than trees, better fabric than cotton, and you can smoke it and talk about shit. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Write that down. We'll forget. Don't forget. They wrote shit. Ben Franklin was in charge of writing shit down. He had the fucking almanac. That was it, dude. Pity saves a penny errand. Ooh, good one. All right. They tease him. Yeah, you save your pennies because you never chip in on the sack, little freak. Ben Franklin smoked a lot of weed. He's flying a kite in a thunderstorm. That's all I'm saying. He invented bifocals. Woo. People say to me all the time, Guy, you do a lot of drugs. I don't. I don't do a lot of drugs. I do a few drugs, a lot. There's a difference. I love the bong. I got a collection. I got like 10 bongs in rotation right now. I got one down for repair, and I got one that I'm saving for the Antique Roadshow. 15 more years, you're right there. Oh, I see you have a 1975 Mind Circus Ceramic Wizard Bong. Indeed I do, Chris. Old Gandalf has gotten us through many a dark age. Well, you know, a bong like that could bring 5, maybe 6 ounces at auction. Oh, I'd never sell it. Give it to my son. I'm so afraid my kids aren't going to want to smoke weed. Not with me. Not like, I'll meet you at recess. I got this shit. But like, you know, when they're older and shit, hey, son, you turn into a fine man. Come smoke a celebration blunt with your dad. Happy birthday. Dad, you know I got to be up early to be at the stock market tomorrow. No son of mine's going to have a job. Where'd I go wrong? You were going to circus school. What happened? Stoners will do shit that they're creative. They'll make a pipe out of an apple, toilet paper tube, tampon applicator. They don't give a fuck. Somebody hollered at me one time, use a pop can. Pop can makes a great putt. I thought she said, use a pumpkin. I'm sitting there, hell yes. Use a pumpkin. Scoop the seeds out of the fucking pumpkin. Put them in the oven. Take some bong rips. Your seeds are done. That's a healthy snack. You could make pie. Hey, this pie tastes like pot. Of course it does. It's pumpkin pot pie. Thanks a lot, everybody. Thank you.
Comedy from the Pod's Greatest Hits CD. He's touring with the High Times Comedy Tour, and he'll be hosting the Hemposium Casbah stage from 4 to 7 both nights at Seattle's HempFest this weekend. You can check out the whole HempFest lineup at hempfest.org. We have a special promotion for Normal Daily Audio Stash listeners who are in attendance at Seattle's HempFest this weekend. Visit the Normal and High Times magazine tent. That's at booth number 429 near the main stage. Mindful that you want to be prepared for any police encounters during marijuana prohibition, ask the Normal staffers at the event and get a free Normal Freedom card, and you'll also get a free Normal pin just for caring about your rights. Make sure you hook up with Normal at HempFest. What a great place to join the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in person. You can meet up with Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre, Normal's founder, Keith Strupp, get a free Freedom card and a free Normal pin. Just stop by the High Times Normal tent at booth number 429 near the main stage at Seattle's HempFest this weekend. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. If you listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.